the area of leadership, of writing job descriptions and really getting the church functioning a little bit better than it is. Last night we talked some about church growth, and a lot needs to be said, I think, about church growth today. I read recently, and I don't know what basis the fella made the basis upon, but he said that only 5% of our churches in America are growing. That means 95% are not growing. That leaves a lot to be desired, and I don't think we can say all the problem is leadership. A lot of problems that bring about why churches do not grow, and we're not going to move into that today, but although we could. We may talk some about it, maybe the second session here, if we get a little time. What are some identification marks with churches that are growing? But the intention of the Lord was for churches to grow. We've got some negative attitudes that prevail. Brother Dan, is your first name Dan?
Don.
Don, who's with us back there. I met him out in Indiana. We won't identify the place since we're on the tape here. But the preacher who was there in that congregation bragged to me about the fact that a year ago Easter, they had 290-some in church services, and this is the last Easter, they only had 205 there. They got rid of a lot of the hypocrites, and that was a real mark, you know. And we've got some negative attitudes about church growth, that churches are growing, certainly can't be preaching the gospel. If they were, they wouldn't be growing. It's amazing that the early church grew, isn't it? That they increased so rapidly. You'd be surprised some of the things are being advocated today by our fellows as excuses as to why churches are not growing. And we need a lot of help, I think, in that area. Gary?
A lot of people look at the fact, and a lot of church people look at the fact that the church is growing, that there's something wrong. The preacher's not preaching right or compromising some things somewhere along the line. And so there's that stigma there. It kind of goes a little bit different twist than what you said, but...
Well, same root, but same concept, that there, obviously there's something wrong here. You're compromising, you're not preaching all the gospel. Or, something's happening here, the reason the church is growing. How's anything going to grow when you don't expect it to grow? And for many people today, there's an expectancy of no growth. Come to church on Sunday morning, nobody expects anybody to make a decision. Just look at the Baptists in our churches across America. And it'll soon be obvious that we're not expecting a whole lot to happen in that respect. Well, that's another point, but this afternoon we want to look at the importance of writing job descriptions, of knowing where we are, and of helping other people to know where we are. And a lot of our people are working in roles and relationships in the body, and they really don't understand how they relate to one another and what their job is. In the area of management, you always kind of begin with an idea. And then that idea begins to blossom, and then from there, planning begins to take place so that things can happen from that point. How do you move in the area of job descriptions? Well, you do it by looking at the job that's needed to be done, and then you begin looking at some of the qualifications that's needed for that job. The relationships are involved there, and then how this job is to be carried out. But why are job descriptions important? Well, they're very important. Organizational structure is very important. One church recently that where I held a leadership seminar has had some real struggles with just getting a organizational chart put together in that church so that they see how they relate to one another in respect to the work that is going on right now. Simply because they had nothing of this nature, identified relationships and roles and so on. And so you start with organizational charts, and then you put job descriptions in the areas where those things are essential. Why is that important? Number one, people feel comfortable when they know how they fit in and to whom they are accountable. Go into a church and you do not have specific job descriptions and specific guidelines set down, and every week the elders come along and say, well, we're assigning you something different this week, and they change your job description from one week to the next, you're going to feel very uncomfortable. As a matter of fact, you'll probably begin to say, I don't believe these fellows want me around here. I think they're just trying to get rid of me. Well, look at other people in the church and see some of their frustrations sometimes. Here are teachers who do not know how they relate to anybody in the church. There has never been a job description set down or an organizational structure. So they go pick out some literature to use in the classroom. Only this time, instead of picking out literature from Standard, they get something from David C. Cook. And what happens? Immediately, elders jump on them, or someone jumps on them. Why'd you pick that literature? Whoever gave you any authority to pick out literature? We're the ones who approve what literature goes into classrooms around here. Now, it's never been a problem before, but all of a sudden you see now it's a problem. And we create a lot of problems for ourselves simply over that kind of a situation we have in the church, because the relationships were not set down. People do not know how they relate to one another, what their authorities are, and we end up creating a lot of problems for ourselves. Number two, organizational structure removes responsibility from the leader for every small detail. Removes responsibility from the leader for every small detail. Leaders sometimes get all wrapped up in handling small details, like we talked about Moses last night. And they, as a result, get bogged down in a lot of these things. Taking care of this, taking care of that. Job descriptions and organizational charts can remove that. How many preachers have been called on Sunday morning by a Sunday school teacher who said, I'm not going to be able to make it there this morning. You're going to have to get someone to substitute for my class. And who's got the responsibility of finding a substitute teacher in the last 30 minutes? When he ought to be concentrating on his sermon, or maybe concentrating on the class he's going to be teaching. And all of a sudden, here the last minute, he's loaded down with something, a small detail that someone else ought to have the responsibility for. But again, because we have not gotten things organized and not have job descriptions laid out, a lot of that responsibility falls right back upon the fellow who's in charge. Number three, it establishes channels of communication for your entire program. Establishes channels of communication for your entire program. Everybody is able to see the picture, see how they fit in when you've got job descriptions written out, when you've got an organizational structure there. Then whenever there's a breakdown with picking the wrong material, doing something that they should not have done, you've got a basis for sitting down and talking to people about that. I can think of a lot of situations where problems have arisen in the church that job descriptions would have totally eliminated that. Incidentally, Jim, we got a job description for you, so before we get started, we want to sit down and go over your job description. Jim is preaching now over at South Liberty, which is about 8 miles from us, and is going to come down on Saturdays and be our one-day-a-week camp manager for us and take care of things. But I'm thinking of a situation in the church where we had a janitor. There was no job description for the janitor. Did a great job for a while, then began to slack off and got lackadaisical in the work that she was to perform. Sometimes the church wasn't cleaned up at all, and then it come time to deal with that problem. Well, guess who got to deal with the problem? And then guess what happened as a result of dealing with that problem? Hard feelings, frustrations, different things, you know, happened there that could have been eliminated had a job description been written. And I could sit down with that lady and said, look, here's what we agreed to when you first started. What are you doing in this area right here? You see, it provides you a communication tool and also establishes channels of communication for the whole program. So whenever a problem does come up on it, you got a basis for sitting down and saying, here's what you agreed to. Now, why isn't this getting done? Where the other way, you so often just create some difficult problems. Number four, it can develop scope and authority for each job. It can develop scope and authority for each job. Who's responsible? What responsibilities do I have? How far does that responsibility go? What authority do I have to do certain things? How much money can I spend? I think going back to the situation while I was here at Beverly, probably one of the areas of conflict, more than anything else, was that Some individuals in the church were expected to do a whole lot of the work around the church and in respect to taking care of the buses and things of that nature. But every time they wanted to spend $5 or $10 for something, they had to run somebody else to get approval for it. Now, job descriptions can open up that area and can develop a scope and authority for each job, so everybody knows exactly where they are when they move into that and how much authority they have, how wide of a scope they have to work from. All right, number five. It provides an accountability factor, which is needed for each of us to function at our best. Provides an accountability factor, which is needed for each one of us to function at our very best. Now, with a good job description, everybody knows where they fit in and how they fit in to the picture and the situation. And number six, it permits a constructive view of qualifications for the project, so you can fit right people into right jobs. Provides a constructive view of qualifications for each project, so you can fit right people into right jobs. If you write a job description, you say, here are the qualifications we need in a person. Then you can begin looking for an individual who fits into that area. So often we go the reverse way and put a lot of people in to areas that they are not comfortable in. One of the things I tell churches when they call me and say, do you know of any preachers who are looking? We're looking for a preacher. The first thing I ask them is, well, what kind of a preacher are you looking for? Now, if they don't know what kind of a preacher they're looking for, there's no way I can recommend a preacher to them. There are certain needs they have. There are certain needs within that congregation in their community that needs to be met. Do they need a fellow who's an evangelistic type preacher? Do they need a fellow who more of an equipper? What kind of a fellow are you looking for? What's your needs right now? Now, if they've never bothered to look at their needs, there's no way you can basically recommend some preacher to go in and do an adequate job in there. Because while the fellow may be a good man, he just may not fit their role expectancies at all once he gets there. So one of the best things you can do is sit down a good job description with the qualifications you're looking for, and then you're able to begin fitting into right situations. Let's pass out just a real brief job description thing here. And we'll look at how to go about writing a job description. It's a very simple thing, and yet I think one of the most beneficial tools that would be one of the greatest helps in getting the work carried on in our churches today. All right, the first thing that you do is up the top, you write a job description for the position of what? And you put down there what you're writing this job description for. Your first thing is a job summary. And there you put, this position exists for. And you, that'll be job description instead of job summary instead of job description. I cross that out. I typed wrong when I set that up. Job summary. Why does this position exist? All right, here's one that I worked out on a Sunday school superintendent, and you just listen as I read this. This position exists to provide general supervision to the program of the Bible school in order that the project of Christian education of students may take place in such a way that they receive instruction in the Word of God. Now, you ought to get the job summary down in one sentence. This job exists to what? Now, second under that, I've got the position also exists to coordinate the Bible school program in such a way that it accomplishes the purpose of the church in toto. So I add a little extra there. Now let's take, since we're talking about specific things today, and you take another sheet of paper if you want to, or you write on that one, write a job summary for the position of an elder. Give me a job summary. Go to work on it. This position exists to What? What does it exist for? The time to write out on that, write your sentence out, and then we'll do a little sharing on it. Do a little sharing here. What do you have? Who wants to be first? Dan, go ahead.
This position exists for the building up and the equipping of saints in the Word.
All right. This position exists for the purpose of building up and equipping the saints in the Word. Gary, you held up your hand. What do you have there?
To work with the preacher, evangelist, in teaching, exhorting, and oversight of the congregation and building up of Christ within each member of the congregation.
Okay. Anybody else got one that's got something a little different, a little variation from that?
Now, this position exists for the purpose of feeding, leading, and protecting the Christians in this congregation.
All right. All right, now, you see, get it summarized so that you, when you begin looking at it, and of course, you know, elder, we've got a lot of to go on here on the basis of what the Word has to say. But let's come down to Vacation Bible School Director. Yeah, now what are you going to put down, you see, for you don't have any basis to begin that from. You don't have a passage of Scripture which will say the position of Vacation Bible School Director exists to equip the saints for service. Now you've got to set down the basic objective that you'll be looking for there. So let's work on that one just a little bit. Merle, I don't know how well this is going to work on taping with these blank spots in here, but you pause them and then state why it exists in order that. If you just kind of keep those words in mind, in order that something can happen. Someone who wasn't involved before, read us your job description here for a Vacation Bible School Director. Jim?
I said, plan, direct, staff, and execute and follow up VBS from 1983. That would be.
All right. Plan, execute, direct, and staff. All right. Okay.
This position exists to prepare teachers, students, and curriculum for a how-many-day intensive Bible learning program in order that the teachers be equipped to teach, students equipped to learn the foundational truths of the Scriptures, and to develop both teacher and student in what God would have them to be. I don't have that word that is exactly as I would like to, but...
Okay. All right, see... Yeah, you've got the overall objective, though, the purpose it exists to, in order that this can happen. And, yeah, to tail in there, you need a little work on the wording, but otherwise it's pretty good down to that point, Kevin. All right, you get the idea? Starting of writing a job description means you've got to describe the job. If you can't describe the job, there's no way you can go about giving a job description for something. So once you get the job described, then you're on your way to looking at the rest of it. All right, area number two is job duties. Now you come down. Maybe some of the things you involved in your summary there, Kevin, would come under this area, but at least we're getting the hang of what the job summary is all about. Job duties. Now, again, we could look at the job duties of an elder, and we could go through the Scriptures, and we could... pick out this, and this. But go beyond that in that you identify what is implied in that. The elders shall shepherd. Well, what do you mean by that? It's the duties here to provide shepherding for the local church. In what way? Spell it out. How that is to be carried out. The shepherd shall feed the flock. In what way do you expect them to feed the flock? We've got people who think they're feeding the flock by passing communion on Sunday morning, you know. They're being the right kind of an example. That's how you feed the flock. You be the right kind of an example. And that's basically as far as they carry. So identify what you mean in the process that you're carrying out here.
Well, is this one person doing this, or would you do this with more than one person?
Okay. I think in most of it, you'll probably be working this out with your leadership. What I like to do is sit down and work out a basic format of something, and then sit down with others and say, now let's tear this apart and redo it. But that gives you a base to start from. If you sit down with your elders right now and said, let's write a job description for a Sunday school superintendent, they wouldn't have an idea in the world how to write a job description. But if you had one written out and said, here's a point for us to start from, now let's tear it apart, and you were able to give them a copy of it, then you've got something to work from. You're always getting problems whenever you do something by yourself. There's a passage in the book of Proverbs that you ought to always keep in the back of your mind that says there's safety in what? There's safety in a multitude of counselors. And always seek out counsel of other people. A lot of times how often have you gone into a church where they had a goal? And you say, who set that goal? Well, the preacher set that goal. How you doing on it? Not doing very well. Don't think we're going to meet it. You know why? Yeah, it's the preacher's goal. It's not their goal. It's his goal. And involve people in things. And so many of the things that we do in the areas of planning and goal setting and things of this nature do not really amount to much, because it's pretty much our program. And the more you involve other people in things, the better the project will end up being. And you've got the principle of Proverbs included also. You might do this by, let's say that you're talking about, you really need to write a job description for a Sunday school superintendent, but they don't know a thing about how to write a job description. What optional thing could you do there rather than write a job description for a Sunday school superintendent?
Write one for someone else.
Yeah. Write one for a teacher, or write one for yourself, and say, now here's basically how you go about writing a job description. Now let's sit down here. And let's work and go over that first and show them how to do it. Then you could start and do the very thing you said. Then you get a lot more input that way. I think you're true. You're right, Merle, that a lot of times people look at something and say, man, that looks good enough to me, and it just stymies any thinking at all on the part of other people. And the more you can instill in them the idea of thinking things through and presenting ideas, it's so much better. All right, now let's begin talking about some job duties then we'd have for a vacation Bible school director. Is that her? And I'm going to throw the questions at you. Is that her job to set a theme, or his job?
Since they're going to be the person in charge, and I think it's up to them to set the theme for the program, and then to go to prayer.
Okay, what though? Most of your programs have a theme built into them.
Well, I know we don't.
Yeah.
We have our own theme.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. So let's say then be responsible for, rather than putting the responsibility, she has all the authority to, or he, whichever it is, to, this is our theme for this year, but be responsible for selecting a theme.
See that the staff is put together.
Okay, I think that has to be number one. Okay, provide oversight of the staff, which includes what? Getting teachers?
Helpers.
Craft teachers? Secretary? Yeah. All right, now let's stay at the teachers right here first. You see, you're starting to we're starting to snowball here. What's her responsibility first of all to the teachers? I'm saying her because generally our vacation Bible school director is a woman. All right. How? All right, so first of all, recruit. Recruit teachers. So we could have point A, provide teachers. Number one, recruit. Number two, train. Number three,
that they're specific age group they're comfortable with, or
that they're qualified to do that.
Okay, align with the place, I guess probably be the best thing there. Place them into the age group where they would fit. Number four.
Back them up in the actual week to make sure that they have the additional things in the room. I'd say that. Just one word about one word or two.
The word training there includes so many things. You're going to have a staff meeting and go over schedules. You've got to provide them with a schedule, let them know where, when and where they're supposed to be. Is that included in the word train?
It could be, but I'd set that different.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Now, we just used the word train. We're going to come back to that a little bit later, and that is going to be over on training and development. We're going to have to sit down how we're going to train them, you see. So here, all we need is the duty. Her duty is to train. Now, we haven't set down yet how that program is going to go about training. All we're setting down here is what she is responsible for. She's responsible for training. She's responsible for recruiting. She's responsible for what else was it there? Placement in the right place. She's responsible to get the right curriculum into their hands. See, you can probably write some more things down, but I just put numbers down there just make you think a little bit more. I could say number five, but let's move on. All right, so we got the area of she's responsible then for the teachers. What else is she responsible for? I got the theme down now. She's responsible for getting a theme together. What else? Materials. Okay. Are we going to put her responsible for materials, or are the elders going to be the ones who have the supervision on that?
Perhaps,
you know?
Perhaps she could take the materials or look at standard and cook and whatever she wants to do and get set up where she views all of it. And then she takes maybe what she feels is good and takes it to the elders for that. Or maybe she could have an elder working with her.
All right. You see the importance of having that spelled out ahead of time? See, it just eliminates a lot of problems. And that, you know, let's just write down that way. She shall be responsible for previewing literature and making recommendations. Yeah. That way... we've got someone now who's responsible for that, you see. That's her job. Previewing literature and making recommendations. What else? All right. Promotion. How is she going to be responsible for promotion? Okay. She shall be responsible for getting a publicity chairman for promotion. Now, spell it out so you see we'll come back to that later. What else?
I think maybe a good idea somewhere along the line would be get some kind of, I got this idea, I think, from Don DeWell, the Prayer Time book, that, you know, I will commit myself to this particular program. Keith Kramer told me of a story, concerning a lady that was appointed as VBS director in about a week beforehand. Backed out, and they were really in trouble. Backup and assistant, I do an assistant always, but you should, or whoever, ought to give some type of assurance of commitment, and we ought to have that from this person. Assurance of commitment.
Okay, we'll probably look at that when we move on down to the qualification area. All right? Right now we are looking at her duties, what we expect out of her as far as the actual work is concerned. Now, why are we doing this? So when we go to someone, she says, well, what am I supposed to do? Well, right here is what you're supposed to do, you see. See your communication factor again? So many people take a job in the church, have no idea what the responsibilities are, and the result is that half the time the job doesn't get carried out in the way we were anticipating. But they have done the job the way they understood. And communication did not occur. Here's really what we want done. But I did what I knew how to do, what I thought needed to be done, and you got a conflict again. There are just so many areas a conflict can come simply because of a lack of these things. So we got job description from the standpoint of teachers, of theme, of materials, of publicity chairman. Come on now, we're just doing some of your work for you, so You can, huh? Okay, my room assignment. Who's going to be responsible for that? Right here. Let me tell you about a church that the preacher's wife got mad at vacation Bible school time because someone else used her classroom for vacation Bible school. Now, job description showing who has the authority here could eliminate that very problem, you see. She has the authority to assign rooms. All right? What else? Okay, there we're coming back to something that was brought up in that snowballing job a little bit ago, see? Now, you see, again, be specific. Don't just throw out general things and say, you're responsible. Put down exactly. All right, so what you can do is, if this is point E or whatever it is, schedule necessary planning meetings. Number one, introduction of the materials of discovering interest. Number two, number three, put down exactly what you're intending to happen, why these meetings are necessary. Because she may be a first-time director of Vacation Bible School. Maybe there's nobody around who can really help her in this way to get the meetings organized. You do it for her. And then you've got it spelled out, and she sets the dates for it, okay? All right, to what else? Follow-up. All right. We're going to make her responsible for that? Okay. Okay. So we probably would put that down farther on the list, but let's keep that back here as we move down. We're just down to staff meetings right now.
Who writes the job descriptions for the teachers and the publicity people and all these other people? Somebody's got to write job description for them.
Okay. All right. That needs to be set down here. A job description. For each of the other offices shall be the duty of the director. Is she qualified to do that?
Wouldn't the job description for the teachers, publicity, chairman, and other kinds of that change that from year to year? Or would that basically be the same? And could we, an editorial, we write up a job description? And then in turn, the director just have it and say, here it is. I want you to do this. I need you to do this job. Here's the job I want. Here it is. That's the same would be the thing, essentially, basic thing we do here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think probably this ought to come from an educational committee or a group of people who know something about education. Maybe you're putting someone into this who is a good organizer but does know a thing about a classroom setting. I think what we'd be saying to put the Vacation Bible School director to writing all these job descriptions is that she knows a little bit about everything. Because what all does she have to write a job description for? Well, the publicity chairman we've got so far, and song leader, and what else? Teachers. I mean, you've got a lot of different roles there that she may not have any background or expertise at all in, where you could get together those who had done this work before and get some assistance in writing out some of these descriptions. So at this point, job descriptions in relationship to her staff, what would be her responsibility there?
At least to see that they have that job description in their hands.
Okay. It'd be her job to communicate the job description to those who are in that position. That might be one staff meeting. Just getting everybody together and say, okay, those of you who are teachers, here's your job description. We're going over. Those of you who are in refreshments, here's your job description. We're going over. Those who are assistants, and you pass out the job descriptions, you just use the time. Now, why? Would that be a waste of time for the teacher to sit there and listen to the assistant's job description? No, not at all, because that will help them to see how they fit into the total picture, you see. That could be one meeting all of itself right there. So get it spelled out, though, what the job duties are, who's going to do what, and then in what respect the director is going to have to carry this program out. Anything else? Supplies.
Scissors, glue.
Mm-hmm. So what does she need in the way of supplies?
A supply.
Okay. Okay. She shall be responsible for getting necessary supplies together and having a supply person. That's good. Yeah. I was trying to think of a word. Gopher is usually what we use, you know. A location, but someone in charge of that too is what I was looking at. Someone who, she can't be there all the time. Someone needs supplies, and there always needs to be someone in one location where people can go get extra books, can go get extra scissors, can go get extra glue, and so on. And there needs to be a supply person who's in charge of all that. But it'll be her responsibility to get the supplies there to start with. Or at least make a list of the supplies that are needed so those supplies can be purchased by the individual who's in the supply section. So that's involved in it. You get that one out of the way. What else? Missionary program. All right. Missionary speaker. She shall get have somebody for this to be maybe in that situation approved by the elders, generally outside speakers, if you're going to have someone come in. Ought to go that route, but that's involved there.
The opening program, or closing hour, you have to run the VBS.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to have the pledges, or are you going to have the Muppet shows? What your opening program is?
Organize the schedule. Can we just say it that way? That's your heading. Organize the schedule. Okay, opening. Okay, we'll come to him a little bit here then. Opening program, study time schedule, refreshment times, when different groups are going to be there. Someone has to get all that coordinated. And just again, lay that out, the layout of the program. All right, you got to have a song leader. Find a song leader. If you're going to. Now, some of these you may already have built in, you know, maybe. Maybe you got certain ones that are just automatically there to do this, so you can cross that one out on your list. Anything else you can add down? All right. That'll be involved in our next section here again a little bit. Okay, be a sounding board for the teachers in respect to discipline problems, things of that nature, okay? Well, there's a whole lot of other things we could add on there, but that gives you an idea of what you got to do. The more specific you are in this, the less problems you got when you get around to it. And then you ask someone to do a job, and they say, boy, I don't know what I do there or not. What do you expect of me? What we generally say? Yeah, you can handle that. That's no problem. And when they get done, you know, they're pulling their hair out. But
you'll find out.
Usually we say it about that term, too, don't we? You'll find out. Ha, ha, ha. You know, just go ahead. You've got a base here for communicating with people that you're trying to get involved in something, saying, here it is right here. And you can sit down, you can write over the job description with them and lay it out. Well, you see, you've got a closing program you've got to talk about. You've got to. Maybe a substitute teacher schedule, who you're going to have to back this thing up with in case someone doesn't make it. Who's responsible for substitute teachers if somebody does get sick? All that will be just involved right in here. What about the awards? It's your closing program. What kind of awards you're going to have? And
recreation
that.
Recreation director. I mean, yeah. On and on you go with what is involved here within the Sunday school, within the Vacation Bible School. Now, the beauty of this thing is the very thing that Dan, or maybe it was Gary, pointed out a little bit ago, and that is once you get this thing down, you got it for next year. You don't have to sit down next year and work out the same thing again. You got the whole thing thought through. Now, during the process of this year, you can sit around and you can do a little bit of listening, and you can see where some of the weaknesses are, and then you can make some changes. All right.
What else would you do?
Huh? She just wanted to make sure I was here, I guess. But during the process of this year, there are going to be things that you don't have on your list. And it's going to be some problem areas. So what do? You can get your list out and you can write that down. A lot of times you say, boy, now next year when this thing comes up, we need to be prepared for this. Then when next year comes, we forgot what the problem was. And we go right back through the problem again. So you got the thing organized once. You can add to it. You can make corrections. You can change. And then you got a base next year for laying out the program with people. All right, area number three now. Organizational relationships. What does that mean? Well, that means how does everybody fit into the program? Now, start out by, since we're on the Vacation Bible School Director, I'm glad we picked that. That gives us a lot of variety to work on here with that job. The Vacation Bible School is responsible to whom? I mean, the director. All right. Who is she going to answer to? Who can get on her case if she's not getting the job done? Who has the responsibility for that? You're going to include the preacher there? Mm-hmm. All right. She's responsible to? Sit down. Who she's responsible to? So she knows that right off the bat. Now, in what way is she responsible there? In what way is she responsible? Well, let's start this by talking about curriculum. If she picks the curriculum, we kind of set this a little bit ago, but let's probably right here is where that ought to go. She will receive final approval from the educational committee, the elders, whoever you got up there for use of the curriculum. What other way is she responsible back to this group? All right. Final approval of all teachers will come from the eldership. This group you got up above here. All you got to do is put that down one time, whatever that is up there. She's responsible to this group, and then four. Teacher approval, four. Curriculum approval. What else? All right. In what way in finances?
Well, to stay within a budget and where any missionary money will go to, that's covered the distribution of the money as far as crafts, literature, that sort of thing.
All right. All that needs to be spelled out, you see, right there, so that she doesn't spend $200 more than was budgeted, then someone jumps on her case later. The missionary speaker could be right in here, which then would verify where the money was going to go, but if you're using maybe a program from Horizons, a film strip program or something of some mission field, well, maybe the missionary's not going to be here, so you'd have a different designation there.
On the approval of the literature and so on, now, I see the need for that, but don't you think you could head off a lot of that if you're very careful in who you select? And maybe this is wrong. I can see problems with what I do, but Lowell, I've directed the VBS, and therefore I don't worry about the literature. I worry about it because any literature published by men, but there wouldn't be any, if I would, see, if you have the right person directed, and if you pick them carefully, you don't have to worry about the literature they're going to select. Don't you, can't you head off part of that way?
Possibly, but then what if you don't? See, then you've got it built in right here that there's accountability back there. So it doesn't hurt to have it down. Then you've got it there. There may be areas that you really don't need, and you can cross it out for this year. If you're going to be the director, well, you don't need to worry about that. But let's say that here's a dynamic young Christian that's just come into the church and has a real lot of good organizational ability and could just do a fantastic job, but doesn't have the years of experience yet of knowing what materials are available and so on. Then you need a check there at that point on that. Okay, any other organizational relationships as far as this direction for those over top? Well, write them down if there is. Now, from there, you see, where else do you go? Yeah. All right. The superintendent, the director, shall provide supervision to her workers. How? How is that supervision going to be carried out? See, not only do you talk about her responsibilities this way, but you talk about her responsibilities to those that are working under her and how those responsibilities will be carried out in that respect.
Would it be best here, too, at this point, to, while you're doing this, to be drawing up a chart or something at the same time? So that not only do they read it, but they also see it.
Mm-hmm.
And it would help, too, I think.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or else wait till you get this done, then draw your chart. It might this will probably give you some insights on how the chart ought to be drawn. Then you can use that for a visual in explaining it to others. But it's true, the organizational chart needs to come right along with this. All right, now you can begin listing those underneath here. You see, number one, teachers. The superintendent shall provide teachers by... or shall provide supervision to teachers in this order, and write down the relationship there. What the responsibilities are of those. To committee chairman, what are the responsibilities there? To the publicity chairman, to the refreshments chairman, the contest chairman, the different chairmen that you have, what's their responsibilities in that direction? They're accountable back to her. That's what you're setting down here. If you chairmen have a problem with something in Vacation Bible School, don't come to me with it. You go to the director. You're accountable back to her. Now, if she's got a problem with you, then she can come to me. But don't you run around her and come to me with the problem. You deal with this problem with her. And a lot of times we create more problems by bypassing things of this nature and trying to deal with them around people. So go that route. What about your helpers? That may be involved in other things. And get it set down what the relationships are in that area. All right. You probably got some other people that you need to set some things out for also here. And that's your people who keep records, take up the offerings, do things, you know, of that order. So you got to set down some responsibilities there. And the bottom line is that if there are not adequate records for the follow-up program, like Jim was talking about a little bit ago, whose fault is it? The Vacation Bible School director's fault. It's her job to see that secretary is keeping the kind of records that are needed, and she's got that kind of responsibility toward her. All right, number four, qualifications. What kind of qualifications are we going to be looking for in this person? All right, I think it probably goes without saying, but generally we need to write it down here because someone will probably recommend somebody if we don't have it down, first of all, ought to be their Christian character. I think that ought to come first. We want someone of who is a strong Christian character. And then from there we can begin talking about those things. And Dan, leadership ability, obviously, is a characteristic that is needed there. Excuse me. Organizational ability, to get the program organized, to structure the schedules that are going to need to be built in, the whole program, all right? What else?
Ability to pass responsibility on to others.
Delegation. Yeah, okay. The ability to delegate. Boy, how important that is. The ability to delegate. If someone has to do everything themselves, they will not make a good Vacation Bible School director. So the ability to delegate. Good one. What's some others?
Availability.
Time. Someone who can be have a time schedule for essential meetings that are going to come, the time it's going to take to go through the curriculum, all of that. There's a tremendous amount of time that we go into it. Dan, you stuck your fingers up there.
Patience.
That ought to be in there, I guess. Someone who has patience, that can handle conflicts very delicately. Probably we could involve a lot in that right there, couldn't we? Someone who's good in personal relations that can, yeah. Gary?
Perseverance or commitment of seeing through.
Now, here's, okay, that's the one Kevin brought up earlier there. Here's where you need that one in, commitment. Someone who, if they say they'll take the job, they will carry the job through. And now, Kevin, this is where you can talk to them when you go over the job description about this. We don't want you dropping this thing. If you take it, you're committing all the way through.
This may sound like a negative, but I have found that people that are worriers will take the responsibility to get a job done. Sometimes the people that seem so nervous and high-strung, they just worry and worry and worry, and they will see to it in detail, and it will be done in detail that you wouldn't believe because they're worriers. That's mm-hmm. maybe a negative term for it. But,
conscientious.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, there are people who are conscientious, but there are people who are worriers.
Yeah. I think probably what you're wanting there is someone, we don't really want a worrier because there are some worriers who are not detailed people. But I think detailed person is what we're looking for. Someone who will carry out details and can detail things and will look for insignificant things that most people would overlook. I think that's what Merle's talking about here. Completeness. Looking at the total thing. And when they get the program laid out, say, now what's the loopholes in this? What have I overlooked? If this happens, what's going to happen here? And what's going to happen here? If this don't happen, what's going to happen? That's just a good organizational person who will look at the whole program and will kind of run it through and say, it could fail here, we could have this problem here, and then be aware of those things. All right? Okay. I think especially your first one be very important there. Good rapport with the people that they will be working with. Maybe to a degree here, the director could be behind scenes enough that people in the community outside would not see that individual. But definitely they're going to be working with staff meetings, things like that. And they're going to have to be able to get along well with people. Generally, if they get along well with people in the church, they get along pretty well with people outside the church too. All right, some others.
Enthusiasm.
Okay, an interest in young people and enthusiastic spirit to carry the matter through. Well, let's we could list a lot of personal things here. Let's Let's talk about some other areas we haven't touched. What about educational qualifications? Are we going to put educational qualifications down?
It's a warm body.
If we look at this type of person, we're going to have to get permission from the congregation. We're going to borrow him.
Well, again, you know, that's a reason for having these qualities down there. You know, a lot of times a person, when he sees here's a quality that they're looking for in a person, they'll start to develop that quality. And a lot of times, you know, we just don't develop certain qualities unless it's important and significant for us. You do a whole lot of things differently in situations because the demand is there. Now, just sitting around here talking with us, you know, we about all know each other, and old buddy buddies, we don't watch our language usage that close. You know, we might say ain't once in a while, and we might use some dangling participles and on if we know what they are. But you sit down with some people who are educated, who have on their business suits, and you'll be very careful of your terminology and your language there. Why? Because the situation demands it of you. And sometimes having these qualities down will say to this person, here's an area I need to really improve in because it's going to be significant to this program. And a person who maybe sometimes really does lack some patience may become more patient in situations that are going to be a little bit trying because sees the importance of how that fits into that program. All right, education, if you want to put some down, but that ought to be there. If there's educational requirements, write it down. Jim?
That also helps people who want to do these kind of things, be vacation Bible school director or Sunday school teacher, that if they don't have those qualities, over a period of years they can develop those qualities and then be qualified to do these things.
Yeah.
You know, if people don't get ready for a job, they don't know what to do to get ready for it.
Yeah, and if someone hoping, you know, next year to be able to do this or sometime, why? They can see what they're going to have to do. All right, what about familiarity with some teacher training programs and with Jack Canelthy? People who can come in and do programs for you. Obviously, there ought to be some familiarity with training programs that are available, with curricula that's available, learning level of students, attention spans, characteristics of age groups. If the director is going to do some of that training, there are some things that in this area that they are going to have to be familiar with. So that's important in qualification. Maybe it's just be familiar with certain programs. Now, we can help you out in that, but we want you to look these programs over, and you'll make the determining factor who you're going to bring in. But here are things that you can do to equip and train your teachers. All right, number five, training and development. Now, the person says, well, that's too big of a job for me. No, it's not. We're going to train you how to do it. How are you going to train them? Write it down right here. Training and development. How are you going to train this lady who's never conducted a vacation Bible school program before to be an effective vacation Bible school director? You got to put it down. And then you come down to this point, you can say, now here's what we're going to do to equip you so you can be the best vacation Bible school director we've ever had here. And then you can spell it out. Now that removes a lot of the fears. And that removes that area why a lot of times we are turned down when we're seeking for volunteer help because they don't think they can do the job, there's no training available for them, and you just really overcome a lot of fears right there. So write it down. Spell out your training program and your development program for this individual. Not for your vacation Bible school, for your vacation Bible school director, the job description you're writing right here. Now then, you get those areas down. You can sit down with somebody and you can say, now here's the job description. We'd really like to have you to be our vacation Bible school director for this summer. And here's what we're looking at in the Vacation Bible School Director. And you got a basis for sitting down and communicating with that person very effectively about what's expected, what our relationships are with everybody in the program, what training programs are going to be available to develop her. And you can do this with every job in the church. And once you've got it set up, you've got your communication tool, you eliminate a lot of problems from the janitor all the way up in the church by doing it.
I think that's as important in a small church?
Yes. Yes. I don't think it matters what size the church is. Yeah. Because any time you got one person here and one person here, the major source of problems in churches is lack of communication. We have more problems that arise over lack of communication probably than any other thing. And this is one of the best communication tools that you can develop.